The meeting is now open. Take a roll call. Kate has excused absence. Jeremy? David has excused absence. Holly? Not here. Dick?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Comment from the public. Okay. Update on the vacant positions.
So basically we've received six applicants have submitted application materials. The applicant pool seems to be pretty well qualified. But we're still in the middle of the selection process. And it looks like that we can draw from this one applicant pool not only for David Myers' position, but Gary Schaefer's position. He resigned after the November meeting, so I don't know if that's well known. But so that is the update.
So Marie will be working. So. Bree had a question, and that was sort of who has participated in the past and who needs to do so in the future, and indicated that someone from chair or vice chair from the Clean Water Commission in the past and a representative from previously Department of Environmental Services, now Public Works, and then the county manager, Mark McCauley, had also participated, although I don't know that it's necessary for Mr. McCauley to participate.
Okay, so, you mean in an interview?
In the interviews. He was involved previously in the interviews. I imagine his plate is incredibly full, and if you choose to talk to all six applicants, and even if you have allocated 30 minutes per applicant, you're going to need a half a day, and that may be problematic in,
right.
in his situation. So I'm not sure how you want to do it, but you might want to check and see if it's actually necessary.
Right, and that's what the scheduling, even to get to this point, it's kind of stop and start. So that's basically the next point is to figure out the interviews.
Just a suggestion, and that is that actually whoever reach out, you or through Dean or whatever, to Mr. McCauley and indicate that for expediency purposes, provide him with copies of the resumes that were received to tell them that you're going to move forward on interviewing all six of them, and that you'd just like to go ahead and get it done. And if he has any questions or concerns, please let me know. I'm going to just give it the out.
Yeah, well, and I was thinking, Marie, that I would, I tried to get in touch with Jennifer today, and so hopefully by the end of this week, early next week, we can be figuring out what the next step when interviews would be, we can start moving forward at that.
I don't know about your schedule, but if we could do it all at once, it's fine. Or I could take 2 days and we'll split the applicants.
Okay.
But I can come down here.
If you get 30 minutes each, I mean that might be a little tight, but probably much easier than trying to get 45 minutes to an hour. I'm not sure you need a full hour, so. Can you target 30 minutes?
Yeah, that does sound. And then you usually need a little bit of a break between.
Yeah, 10 minutes between. Yeah. Give you 5 to 10 minutes just so that somebody running late, running long, have a discussion,
yeah,
et cetera. And then the process is at the end, after all the applicants had been seen was to actually take 15 minutes or so and make the decisions.
Okay. At that time.
Right,
okay.
Right after it's complete.
And then from the group, if you want to throw some interview questions, things that you would like to know, then we can compile a list and ask them all the same questions.
Yeah, I think that would be definitely helpful.
I would fine-tune that writing sheet that was hard to open.
So then likely would they, I guess two people, right, would be selected likely before the next meeting?
Yeah.
March and Venus.
Yeah, hopefully that would be, we sometimes seem to turn slower than I would like to.
Yeah. And then in the past, what the dean knows this, what we had done is after they had signed on, accepted, et cetera, then we would make arrangements for you and somebody from Public Works Department to bring them in and start them out with their about an hour, a little their binder, and sort of walk through everything, sort of a little 1 hour training session.
Okay.
Sort of, and I've been doing that as we worked along because it seemed to get them up to speed pretty well, and so forth. So.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
As a suggestion, if you choose to continue.
No, that's.
Thought to some more institutional process. We kind of beat that kind of onboarding on a little bit.
We started it originally when Earl was still with us.
Okay.
And it started working through that because it just seemed to make sense to try to at least give them a leg up, get them the past meeting notes in a binder.
Yeah.
They could read through those and discuss what goes on, the expectations. And our session is decent. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but we've never really codified doing that in the process, but it's what we've been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's we'll probably get into that at some point in this meeting, right?
Because it's on our challenges.
Okay.
The process would be that all interviews would have at least Marie would be definitely be in all interviews. Is that kind of your process or any other?
Well, that was my question. Really, is that I it's unclear to me what Mark McCauley's expectations are, but I think Dick is right that
just in the past it was either the chair or the vice chair. It could be anybody. You could have as many people proficient as you wanted, but always logistically challenging. And then a representative from the working group, in this case Public Works, and then again Mark had been involved in each of them in the past. Although in the interviews themselves, Mark rarely asked anything or said much of anything.
Right, because he's not directly involved.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, as you mentioned to Maria, I'm not sure he's got a lot of things going.
Yeah.
And he does have a number of commissions that report to him, and carving time out to be involved in all of the interviews of all of them is maybe, so.
And it typically is better to have a consistent panel, so.
Well, I certainly think that somebody from the Clean Water Commission and somebody from, in this case, Public Works Department, for sure,
yeah,
should be there. Anybody else, I think, is perhaps extraneous. It's optional, maybe okay to have, but not necessary.
Okay.
And I know Kate started a new job in Portland, so she's not. It's going to be tough for her too.
Oh.
Well, as I told you, if you want assistance, I'm happy to assist. You're not going to get your new job tomorrow. Don't get this.
Okay.
I would think that we should probably reflect in the notes that if it's not a requirement, that's surely our preference that we have it exactly the way.
Okay.
It was saying is that it would be a person from the Clean Water Commission and a person from Public Works at the minimum.
We had commissioned previously that it did fall apart in the case when Holly joined. Mark took it upon himself to review the resumes, he picked one.
Okay.
And yet he and I had had a previous discussion on how would we done, how would it have been done, how it would continue forward. So we had agreement in place, but the plan deviated.
Yeah, and that I've seen also documentation of the way there's like a workflow that maybe was put together in early 2015 of these county manager overseeing boards and how things are supposed to work,
well,
but it's
it was
not.
Split from everybody used to report to the county commissioners.
Right.
And then in the power change, the counselors, the decision was made that the boards and commissions that would report to the counselors are those that were state mandated required.
Okay.
And those that were not, i.e. were a choice of the county, would report to the county manager. And that was the delineation required versus not required. This
okay.
is a choice commission, is not a required commission. Thus, we made that transition to where it is.
Yeah, and so even in that workflow of it's unclear, and I've been kind of stumbling through some of this, so and Dean, I think also he has not gone through this application process either for the commission, so we're both kind of and communicating with the county manager and trying to understand who's supposed to have the motivation and the impetus to do things. So,
well, in the end, the commission, in order to function,
needs to be full.
So the impetus really is, I believe, from the commission, and to say,
yeah.
You know what, we're going to interview the following candidates.
Yeah.
If you would like to join us, please let us know. But okay. My suggestion is just actually take a bull by the horns and say,
absolutely.
Work with the department and anybody else's experience.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
I
that is not an attempt to belittle anybody else. It's just
yeah.
functionality. Because yeah. the reality is that the department and the commission are the ones that really work together. And then occasionally a report goes to somebody up the line.
Right.
But by the way, my name is Rod Swanson, and I work with.
Rod,
met before. maybe perhaps the county manager could delegate the job to somebody under his supervision to participate in the interviews.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's through it, his office can figure out what they want to do with it.
Right.
And that's why I said if he provided the resumes, because previously, earlier in the program, Mr. McCauley would actually send all of the resumes over to the county commissioners. And ask the county commissioners for their input.
Okay.
So when I started as chair, we were actually getting written comments back on resumes from some of the county commissioners.
Okay.
With their thoughts, and then he kind of weaned them off of that, and he sort of took that role. So in my point of view, if you provided the resumes to him and said you give feedback and or assign somebody from your department, mm-hmm. but we need to move this forward.
It's just that his office is who received the resumes and then they forwarded on to us.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of this process. And so that's why so I'm realizing what you're saying is true, that we just need to move ahead and start to say what we want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And just keep them informed. So.
Yeah.
Or maybe ask Jennifer how the other commissions handle theirs.
So if actually you looked at your schedule and you guys looked at your schedule and you chose some potential dates and just informed.
Yeah, and said we're available.
The county manager, here are the resumes and here are the dates that we have set up. If you or a representative would like to attend, you're welcome.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
Then you take control, and you can then reach out to the candidates and slot who. That's just a suggestion.
Okay.
so I can cover the next.
Okay.
Because basically then the so Marie and Marie Lamona and David McDevitt, they're getting officially reappointed, and that will happen. They're actually going to be on the consent agenda on January 10th. It's just a process of what happens with the reappointments.
Oh.
So, Marie, I believe that, did you receive a letter, and then a letter that saying that you, that the county manager is announcing that they're announcing your reappointment, and you did not. Okay. Because I think there's you were supposed to receive a letter. I definitely got a copy of it.
Oh.
And so there's one addressed to you and one addressed to David that is accepting your request to be reappointed, that it's going to be going to consent on January 10th. There's no reason, you don't need to be there or anything. But I do believe you're supposed to sign it and send it back. So I will check with Jennifer and make sure that she had sent those to me a couple of weeks ago, so I thought they'd already gone in the mail.
Could have been my mail lady felt like leaving early that day. We do have a problem with our mail.
Oh, really? Okay. So, but yeah, I will follow up with Jennifer then. So that's the official way this is done.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just email
them. That's good. I can do that.
Okay, ready to talk about the stormwater management plan? My rod's here.
That is my rod.
Well, I didn't have a prepared presentation because I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do here. But, you know, I can talk a little bit about the history of the stormwater management plan and its origin under the Clean Water Act. The classic municipal stormwater permit that pursuant to the Clean Water Act delegated to ecology had the applicant, the municipality, create the stormwater management program that they documented and they would submit it to the permitting agency, and it would say what the permittee was going to do for the five-year term of the permit they were about to receive from the permitting agency. We did one of those back in 1998 and gave it to ecology, and they said, yeah, go do this stuff plus a couple other things. Then in 2007, ecology issued the next stormwater permit for the phase one permittees, which are Clark County, Snohomish County, Pierce County, King County, Seattle, and Tacoma. That permit was radically different than most stormwater permits in the country, and that it didn't require the permittee to propose a program that met their needs and the general requirements of the Clean Water Act, but it had the permit he had to do under the permit with performance measures written into the permit, which makes it much easier for ecology because they don't have to review these big fat reports and look for holes in them. They just have this prescriptive permit that the permittees have to follow. But in doing so, they've kind of taken the function of the stormwater plan or stormwater program plan from being what was once a very prescriptive plan for the permittee to more of a public information document about what the permittee does to meet the permit requirements. Clark County probably has one of the more detailed stormwater management plans of any permittee because, gosh, about seven or eight years ago, we decided that we wanted to make a fairly detailed program description so that not only the public but the county in general could understand what our program encompassed and, you know, what were the regulatory drivers, what departments did what, and that led us to include things like responsibility matrices in there, and then, you know, outputs, timelines, that type of thing. So the permit requires us to have a plan, and it requires us to update it at least once a year and post it on our webpage and submit it with our annual report to ecology. And as well as having the stormwater plan and asking for public input on it, which is
difficult to accommodate because we have to do exactly what the permit says, and generally we've been told to not do anything more than what the permit says. So if we get public input to say, do more than what the permit says, we pretty much have to ignore it. Another aspect of public input to the program isn't just on the plan itself. The program is all the stuff that the county does to meet the permit requirements. So when we, say, adopt a new stormwater manual, we have a public process to involve the public in that element of the program. When the county adopts the budget, theoretically, the public can comment on the elements of the budget that fund the stormwater program. A lot of the program is not funded by the clean water fee. It's funded by things like development fees or the road fund, other revenue sources. So that's what the stormwater plan is.
And this document is just a listing of the changes.
That's
an update. Reading through it, it didn't.
There's not a whole lot.
It didn't appear that there was any of the substance. It's not mostly cleanup and update.
Yeah, the idea is it's kind of migrated from being a combination of what we've done to kind of advertise the program and what we're going to be doing to more focus a little more on what we're going to be doing. So if that's something we did last year, we probably took it out, or something we're not doing anymore, we would take it out.
So the role of the Clean Water Commission relative to this document is just a sort of FYI.
And you can comment on it any way you want to. Your document is always posted on the web, so people can comment on it anytime they want to.
There's never been in the past any sort of approval or whatever remaining from us. I just want to make sure that that's not.
I read it when I was before the meeting. I figured I'd start with there's what the Clean Water Commission is in the, and it's, you know, described by the permit what we should be doing and stuff. And there's several paragraphs, and it's really well done. So if you want to review that, it kind of does define our role. So we should be reviewing it and making our comments.
There you go. That's a good idea.
I think at one point, Commissioner Schaefer, when he was still with us, had commented that he felt that somehow this group should have some sort of authority or responsibility to approve.
Oh.
And the discussion that wasn't outlined in that in that fashion. That wasn't this responsible. I just wanted to clarify that that's not the case. It's advisory.
But it
was
well done.
Thank you. Yeah, we're proud of it as a document. Trista Kobluski, who now works for OTAD, was the primary worker on it, and she and I put it together ourselves with a lot of input from the various departments that implement the work. I think, you know, one thing I recollect is when I did the first one back in 98 for our permit application, a lot of stuff had never been written down before. Just getting, prying that information out of people was a real challenge. There are people who would never put anything on paper for the county back then. And they were managing departments. But so I think it's for you guys as Clean Water Commission members, it's, you know, you would never want to read it cover to cover. But if you're interested in some aspect of the program, you know, by spending a few minutes just to read those 3, 4, 5 pages, you can learn quite a bit. I think that's the value that it carries for you guys.
Yeah, especially if you, the part that talked about us, you know what we're supposed to do. And it talks a lot about the education programs that are.
There's a lot in there about that aspect of it. Yeah, those guys write the most.
And I didn't print it out because it's a pretty lengthy document, and everybody received it in email. So, but we do have one copy in a binder over there if the public wants to read, or anybody else.
For future meetings, we're all going to be sitting here with our virtual reality and our cell phones will be sitting there, and you'll punch that up, and then those two paragraphs will be right there, and you read them right there. Sorry. You have to answer 3 questions, or you don't pass.
It would probably be something I would give an incoming Clean Water Commission member to say, take a look at this when he has his spare time. It's not that long. This is, you know, it's last. It's only this day. You compared to
right. For these guys, it's pretty thin.
Because it's around 140 pages,
it's about,
I think.
That. It's a little shorter this year. There's a lot of white space in it, and a lot of pictures.
Okay.
Tell it can change in that edit mode, which is nice. Chris is going to find our section, so we can. You know it by heart? Oh, here it is. Page 97. Provides a forum for public participation and informs the BOCC about stormwater topics and policy recommendations. So I advise it'd be nice if everyone read the sections that pertain to what you do. And if there's anything in there we might want to put in our annual report.
Just to kind of close it out, we do submit it to the Department of Ecology with our annual report, which is actually an electronic format now, and that goes to the Department of Ecology in late March. So if there are any revisions that you want to suggest or additions, you know, the sooner we get them, the better. So I don't know how that would be. When's your next meeting?
March 2nd, I believe, or 1st.
So we can accommodate that.
First.
Okay.
The permit is re-upped to
18.
The phase one and phase two permits expire in August of 2018. So college will replace that permit with another permit at that time. They're going to do it, but they publish or release a preliminary permit, which doesn't require them to respond to comments, just they accept the comments and use them to help them craft the draft permit, which is legally required by state statute, probably the Clean Water Act. And that one, theoretically, they have to respond to every comment that they get on that one. But generally, when they publish the draft permit, they don't want to change the word. So usually that's pretty close to what we get. And I'm guessing that's going to be out probably sometime very late this year or early next year to meet that deadline.
I sent you guys an email here a couple weeks ago about the permit for 18. I don't already let them know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
There was a process earlier last year, an ad hoc process. Some of the permittees and environmental groups were trying to get together to look at some of the issues with the permit. They tried to draw ecology, and ecology really didn't participate in. Didn't really gel and come up with anything in particular, but they tried.
I'll go back and find it.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think I have it all on my phone.
Oh, I found it.
Did you?
Interesting.
Public input until February 10th.
Forward that to Andrew.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Can't come across that if you're aware of it.
So what exactly is that? I'm not aware of it.
Changes coming for stormwater permits in the Columbia on December 21st.
Is that for permit fees?
It says changes coming to permits to curb pollution and protect water quality. The Department of Ecology announced Wednesday. Tackles mostly concrete runoff.
Just an article that was in the Columbia, and I wanted to make sure we'd seen it. I'm not sure that many people take the Columbia anymore.
Wednesday.
I know there have been some announcements about permit fees, which are rule adopted in the administrative code of the state, so they have to go through a public process for that. And there's a number of public fees.
It's more like cleaning your equipment, washing on concrete.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. A lot of work. Okay, shall we talk about our report? So thank you, Mark, for your edit.
As you did last time, you did a very nice job. Good job. Putting it all together, making it flow. I sort of just have one question, and that is there any need or value on the inside page for the for shows returns? Since David's expired, which is fine, but in the case of Jerry, he is resigning. Is there any reason for you to amend?
Just show that, commissioners, for the year. That would be fine.
Okay. Other than that, I think I'd read through it. Wrote back to tonight. Didn't find anything else that stood out.
Well, I just needed some more challenges. And Jeremy suggested about engaging the community, which is a good job.
Mm-hmm. For this coming year, is it?
So I like the one you suggested about the onboarding. Do you have more input that you'd like to give us more formalized?
No, I didn't have anything particularly. I thought it was just.
Did you actually want to codify it? Did you want to?
I'd like to formalize it a little bit better in the process than at least just my perspective on it. We develop a process where people come on board a lot more seamlessly, so that somehow we need to structure ourselves in a way that we begin to advance our mission and. Have some kind of structured goals that we can all begin to kind of apply to. And new members have to understand what those are coming in, I think. And so there's otherwise we're restarting. And so there's and I can see the challenge with this board. So to me, onboarding is an element that needs to be thinking about.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I just go with writing here by creating a process for training new members.
Yeah.
Short, sweet.
That was good. I can't remember why, but I think I've worded. I gave some words around that.
I'll just improve the process, which is good.
So we could have that as a not only a challenge, but for an objective for
2017. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A little work plan or how we create those. Yeah. To develop specific training process and steps.
And do we want to continue our three working groups?
There's
the research team. It seemed like there's a little bit of research to be done. Did they feel that perhaps we weren't doing as much as we were doing?
Probably coming out, just thinking forward, research is probably, it's always going to be situational, and is probably going to be more relevant coming into 18 or when the new permitting process starts in, what information is needed to be gathered, and then it could be a bit more for research.
Since we're talking about last year, I think what happened with the research team is that we just could never get any kind of sustained initiative towards accomplishing something. So we laid out objectives. But we just couldn't, really couldn't get a process. So we tried to do a monthly conference call so that we had some kind of continuity around certain things, and it just didn't work out. And so my hope is that one of the new members, once we get the membership on board, that we can begin to get some sustained. Having three people in a group is difficult to accomplish things, because one of the things we wanted to do was to start reviewing the capital plan, capital project plan for UCal. So as we started looking at those projects that were planned by the county, and you look down that list, and you got a whole bunch of projects that you'd like to accomplish, but almost nothing being done on any of them. And so there's a place for public input. on the prioritization of those things, that you know, that may be one avenue to do that. Because that was kind of where we thought we were going, but we just couldn't ever get it. So I think if there's a, I guess one of the things that we probably should think about is it appropriate to have three groups, three members on each group, or should we have some cross-functionality where some members are on two teams?
That's a good point, because we have two new people, and aren't they? Did you lose both your?
We lost one.
Okay, you lost one. Okay, well, yeah. So.
Well,
you don't want to have all.
If there are two sort of primary or principal objectives for the group, that is find groups to talk to or organizations to talk to, and then talk to them. Right? Sounds pretty simple, but right. So the group that's going to present could also be the group that's responsible for reaching out. Could.
So communications and partnerships could kind of be the same, and that would open up the research for what you want to do, and then vetting the whole process on vetting new numbers and getting that more on a policy or a procedure.
Since we, at the last meeting, we did talk about sort of the shopping list of groups and organizations, sort of trying to spell those out. And you know, we finalized and agreed upon that list. And you know, if there's a group of people, whatever the number, and then you just carve those into bite-sized chunks so that each person is responsible for X number and reaches out to them to say hi. So then instead of having this nebulous, it's more concrete. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of communication on our list from last time.
Right.
You break that down. Mm-hmm. You could do community, you could do business.
And even from our first stormwater tour, you know, we learned there's no shortage of groups and people to communicate to if we want to. I mean, that's a lot of groups. For three people, that's also a challenge.
So do you need more than how many people do you need to be able to be adequately trained to actually speak to groups? It's one of the points of concerns in the past is that from a county standpoint, they would occasionally have commission members in the far distant past. Go out and talk to groups and make comments and statements that were problematic.
Right.
And so we got to the point where the county wanted one of the county representatives to be with anyone making a presentation to attempt to keep that under control. So do you need more than three? Do you want to go with you where you want five? Or I.
Well, you could have six people. Do you know, rotating and doing all the health partnership and communication, and then have three to work on. But it doesn't mean that someone on the research wants to go and join a group, because Kate had mentioned last time everyone should be kind of trained in the presentation, and I've got a great group of people right now. If we can jump in and go over them.
Yeah, you've looked at what sort of has been done when you give us some thoughts of what you think worked well and what didn't work well. And so from a leadership standpoint, make a suggestion.
Could do it solo, or partners is always fun though too, But I don't think we had anyone in the group that would go and give this information.
That was a nice thing about the onboarding last year was we did the mock presentations here, got the feedback. I mean, so that was helpful. It helped bring a new member that was going to help join and do that into the community. And it's good to go with at least two people, I would say, because, there was a lot of engagement. A couple I went to where you get plenty of questions, and that's where we're having. Who was with us? It was
Dean
was with us, and that was very helpful.
Okay.
Well, if you have at least a couple people go, it's always important to take the notes for any follow-up and then submit those notes back to the department.
Right.
So that there's a record and there is a follow-up process. Because that was, in the past, was lacking. It just, prior to our attempts to start instituting that, didn't happen. And that is what falls through the gaps. And so people say, yeah, I'll get back to you. Nobody ever got back to anybody. So making sure that that process is in place so that there are good notes to go back.
One of our roles is to feedback communication from the community to the, so that's part of it. Great avenue to do that. But you know, Marie asked about whether we want to keep the structure in. And I think the reason why I said it the way I said it is that I don't think that last year we gave any structure an opportunity to really be successful. So my perspective on these things is to not to recreate the structure. We should probably try to look at what went right, what went wrong, with the structure that we have. And so my input is that we keep at least the basic elements, whether there's three groups or two groups, like we're saying here. I think as long as we keep the basic elements in place and try to fix some of the things that kept us from being effective last year, I think that's kind of the approach that I would take with this. Rather than trying to come up with a whole new way to structure ourselves. Does that make sense?
So, I think, didn't we have like a weaknessy question? When you say what went wrong, where's our, you want to call it challenges, what do you think could make the groups can put forth the idea of what would work better next year? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think so what you're asking is should we have another challenge here? One of the things I think that was a challenge to us was some kind of new membership coming on board. But that wasn't necessarily the thing that impacted, I think, the research group. So how would we word that particular challenge? I think a lot of it was part of the challenge that we had, I think, is that the bi-monthly meeting, where we're coming together every 2 months, really doesn't allow us to, at least with the project, the objectives that the research team took on at the start of the year, I don't think it really lends itself well towards...
We need greater frequency.
We need more frequency. So we tried this monthly conference call, and frankly, we never really had. I think I was the only one that joined the conference calls, and it's because I think that's where I think the three party. You're just not going to get in this kind of a group. We're just not going to get 100% participation in those kinds of things, particularly when we're looking at kind of intermediate meetings, if you will, between the formal meetings. So. That's where I was thinking that, maybe if we had additional members, at least you'd have more likelihood of getting a couple of people, get some dialogue going forward and keep some momentum going, because it just stopped. It's kind of what happened with some research. We just kind of ground the ball.
In case of outreach, I had Gary Hall and I, and Holly expressed some interest, but got tied up, and Gary never responded.
I think it's kind of consistent around all of
this. And there's an inherent challenge in the long time I've been doing this, about 3 or 4 years, and that is people have busy lives. It is a volunteer situation. You've got to sort of make it fit in and then coordinate from timings and availability and everything else that goes with it. It's just a challenge.
It's a challenge.
To do that, I don't care how many you have. What the original goal in trying to keep it to three was trying to give some ownership to something, to groups, to keep the numbers small enough that you could potentially coordinate. The problem is you start going beyond two,
it's hard. It's very hard. So somehow we need to word that in the challenge. I probably should have thought about that before here, but. That's something I think we need to address in our work plan going forward. The onboarding can help, but at the same time we have to have this structure that keeps things have some expectations. It's voluntary, but we also have to have some expectations and hold ourselves accountable to those.
And it's, you know, it's a, we've talked in the past, for instance, about, you know, trying to establish some sort of a frequency to check the email we, each of us uses for that. And, you know, we don't have any way to set up tracking, not that we should. But that's just another, you know, it's something else to do. And it needs to have a habit pattern established for it. And I mean, just, it's inherent. Life gets messy and busy. So, you know, even checking email on a regular basis can be a challenge. So from a challenge standpoint, what I hear Mark saying is that, you know, you have inherent challenges of busy lives and coordinating people's availability with projects. I also hear you saying that meeting formally every other month in of itself may actually add to the challenges. I actually agree that if we actually met monthly, it would be more consistency, it would stay closer to you. 2 months is almost so far away that you don't even think about it until a few days before.
And then if someone skips a couple meetings in a row.
Yeah, they lost half a year.
Yeah.
So you're not really being affected on your
And that can happen, you know, that can happen in busy lives. You know, you miss 2 meetings in a row. Yes, you know, you're out of time.
Especially when it comes to travel.
At least you do the conference call.
Yeah. So somehow I think we probably, since we're looking through these, we probably can think about whether we actually come up with the right wording around the challenges or not, so long as I think it reflects on the work plan that we're really trying to get to more group effectiveness.
And there's always a narrow factor of motivation.
Yeah. Well, that's
which is why the selection process is important to us as well.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
All this stuff is really important, you know, get the right people to be motivated.
And that's hard too when you're interviewing, asking questions. What is your commitment? People get excited, but then if you're missing half a year, you beat that out of someone.
The challenge would be even trying to even make more often, say once a month, is that we don't really have the business to do to make it worthwhile. Now, maybe coming into the next provision process, because the first year we had the situation where the John Benton decided to cancel the stormwater exemptions for the schools, for instance. We met 10 times that year.
Okay.
Because there were was a lot of public comment and feedback, so it was a busy time meeting on a regular basis. So people were more engaged at that particular point, but there was also a hot topic. And sand's a hot topic for clean water, stormwater, et cetera.
So some of these things can come, you know, we can get motivations in several different ways. You know, we can get it from ourselves, but I think what our mission is to go out and find what the public wants. So there's that kind of thing is really where it starts, I think. Find out what kind of feedback we're getting from the community, getting out, communicating, and then understanding what the incentives are from the community's perspective, so that we can insert. So, you know, in the end, we're advisory. We make recommendations to the county, and that's really what our role is.
Okay, so I'm hearing we'll keep the teams, and we'll just kind of put a little more challenges in there about.
And finding the right mix of people for each of the circumstances, situations.
Sure. As I say, I think that's where you have maybe have a primary group, but you also want membership into like the research group. You know, there's some interest there also.
Cross functionality is kind of important. So that way we can get the kind of a core team, and then have additional opportunities to engage. And I'm okay with it every other month, but. For us, if we were trying to do the things that we had for our objectives for last year, it really required at least a monthly an intermediate call, at least, so we can work through some kind of work plan.
Any other communication we'd be...
We had our practice one. I didn't even put it in there.
But
we
then,
made a separate...
And then with community engagement, too, there would be multiple, or should be multiple, get together to exact communication. So something that, you know, we've done the last couple of years off and on was try to arrange for some type of training or education session at these meetings.
Yeah.
And we've been a little bit sporadic about it, but just a thought or question to me is from a ongoing education, development, engagement type of thing, does it make any sense or could there be interest and value in really trying to come up with a, you know, a 15 to 20 minute educational aspect associated with the commission, some piece, some something, and even to the extent that, say, a week or 2 weeks prior, sort of some background material emailed to the parties and say, please review this and come to the meeting prepared for when they have this session. I'm just thinking off the cuff, only because if you provide some materials ahead of time with establishing an expectation of review and engagement, starts you thinking about the upcoming
year.
Okay? And then while you're here for that, then we gain a little more education, a little more information, which then maybe triggers different thoughts or, ooh, I think I should go check on that, or I'm just throwing that on the table as a solidifying it more. Is there value doing that? Formally saying at each meeting we will have, and then, of course, have to establish what those things are. But there is a workload with that.
Right. And even in this meeting, the educational item was the stormwater management plan, and we emailed that out.
Sure.
And then
and
knowing
last,
that...
Last time's guests were...
Yeah.
Well, the energy always goes up when we're learning something. There's no doubt about that.
And then when we had Bob Patterson, that was very educational.
And just having people in the audience... I mean, it helps to have me on.
Sure.
Actually,
you just cardboard.
Well, there's that one meeting where the college kids were here.
That was
part of their class.
They were actually.
You signed down.
<in Jordan. laughs>
Yeah.
What's my thing, George?
Return on investment.
So my thought though around this whole thing is that I'm gonna try to do this again. I'm gonna try to do monthly calls, try to get some initiatives going. We laid out these objectives and we reviewed them with the overall commission and everybody kind of blessed each other's objectives, I think, at the start of the year. And ours was to look at the capital plan. We were gonna do some research around the around budget and expenditures. Try to put in some kind of recommendations, and I didn't know where that was going to go. I mean, obviously, if there's more things you want to accomplish that you want the county to accomplish, and they don't have the funds, then you have to either reevaluate your priority or look at the funding process. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different places where that could go. I think there's some good work that could be done in all that, and so I think that's the right place again for the research group to be working. But it's we have to have an objective setting process early in the year once we get the groups signed.
So are there, and this is probably going to be sporadic, and just off the top of the head, if there almost be project groups? Now, for instance, a project group whose sole responsibility is to look at budget. For this period of time, that's this group of whoever they are, however many they are, if you come back and your objective is to share with the group your findings, your recommendations, explain why, and then that is formally turned in. So I'm just wondering more, because these groups are sort of projects, but they're broad projects, and maybe people do better, not really, people do better if they have very specific objectives and assignments.
Yeah,
so,
and that's kind of where I thought we were going. But again, we I don't think we ever got any momentum as a group, as a research group. Well, after setting objectives, we just kind of and died. It was his, you know. So I think it's a, I still think it's the right structure. There's probably ways that we can implement kind of project teams out of those, you know, once we look at the objectives. To me, that's the essence of what we have to try to accomplish to improve our.
Okay. I would actually put that under recommendations.
And I do wonder whether, even dovetailing with what is going on in the Clean Water Division, so we just finished our budgeting process and it's in place for 2 years, and that was set in the midsummer. But I know that the capital facilities plan is going to be being revised. Hopefully maybe in the next year, much or at least beginning that process, so that could be, so then help, that's where this commission, you know, if that were a project to be worked on, then it's actually feeding into what is going on. So I think the making sure that that then maybe it would be more important at this point to be looking at capital facilities.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you remember when we first started talking about, you know, I guess kind of the way I was looking at that is that this is more of a 5-year lookout, you know, 5-year planning kind of thing.
So okay.
We were trying to make recommendations for the counties kind of longer term, longer range planning based upon what we were hearing from the community. So and I think the time that really became evident to us is when we were having the debates around the clean water fee.
Okay.
Right. Remember that was
she wasn't here anymore.
Okay, so we were talking about some kind of longer range thought process, and you know, what is the process, you know, and can this commission really feed into that? And so I think that's kind of where that's the first time I saw the budget really.
Well, and that came up in the discussion that the county does 20-year project, you know, road project, and looking forward down the road, what are we going to expand, what are we going to put in, etc. So then the question circled around, as I recall,
right,
around, well, so from a stormwater standpoint, how far ahead is the county looking? And the answer was 2 years.
A couple years. But there's a lot of projects. And I think you forwarded me the project list. I've got it, but I still have it. I mean, and then there's a lot of really good projects, almost nothing being funded.
Yes, unfortunately, at this point.
So, you know, when you have that kind of a situation, to me, it's crying out for prioritization. That's what it is. You got to decide what you want to go do and then go out and do it. And if you don't have the funds to do it, then you either have to reprioritize it or you have to find the funds, which kind of gets us back into kind of what I think the essence of this group is. So it was just really kind of, I thought we had the makings of something to be effective, and I think it could be built into our work plan this year to allow those groups to be more effective.
I think last year the education one kind of took off. I mean, because all members were all good about, you know, doing what they're going to say.
Part of that challenge, you recall, was that you didn't really get a presentation to work with until
last year.
So we previously it sat and was undergoing revision, and then the revisions got lost, and I made multiple trips down here. Even after Dean took over, we were trying to figure out who was responsible for the department's feedback on the presentation, because we were trying to whittle it to 10, 12, 15 slides per presentation from the 40, 50, 60 that had previously been there, and then it just languished. So we couldn't get the feedback from the county that we needed in the authorization for a final slide deck. So, you know, I'm not trying to tell you, that was some of the stuff.
Yeah.
But if you look at the end of the year, the last presentation, all of a sudden now there's money in the budget for clean water to go ahead and partner. So that's kind of, they're taking that ball, and yes, we can help with that. So what Mark is saying now, I think our focus should be, you know, keeping those groups alive and still doing, helping with the presentations and hearing what the public wants to, you know, need out of us, but more of a focus on let's advise on a couple programs if they don't come up, it's under review. So like every year it's going to shift a little bit on what we should be doing following what's going on with the permitting and the budget process and fees.
So working, working with the department, identifying a project or projects, and maybe you don't start the year with that, maybe it evolves. But from a project standpoint, I think the engagement potential goes up significantly when people say it's tangible. And these are all good. Obviously, I champion them, but they are broader umbrella things, and sometimes that's hard for people to grasp. Whereas capital budget plan, and maybe that capital budget plan, your point isn't just 2 years or 5 years, maybe it's 10 years or longer. Projecting out with that sort of feedback. But yes, it needs to be relevant to what the department's doing.
And yet I do see the value, too, in going longer term, or that there's a consistent mission within the commission as well. So since what you're trying to do is be a sounding board for the citizens to then bring these issues to the county. So, yeah, kind of both aspects, and so that each year you're coming up with projects or whatever goals you're setting, so that you are you feel like you're accomplishing something. There's and packaging it up in something that can be achieved.
Well, those same projects can be integrated into presentations for the public, or they are the future presentations. So another question is, why should we listen to you? Okay, go talk to citizens groups or businesses. Why should we bother? Well, we'd like to come in and outline for you a particular project or the capital, the vision down the road, and share what thinking is and get your feedback so that we can take that back. So maybe it scales into being able to help reach out to groups and say, here's what we want to talk to you specifically about. A broad presentation being one of them, but maybe there are more project-specific things which may engage more groups, which would lead to more presentations, and which would get more feedback.
And I do think, too, like you were saying, that it took a long time to get feedback from the county. The changes that have happened over the past year in the restructuring of, or the dissolution of the Department of Environmental Services, and that things are definitely clean water seems to be functioning more optimally, and so hopefully we will be not taking quite so long, and that actually working in a manner that is good for everyone on the commission and in the division and for the
system. So maybe Marie can work with Andrea and Dean and identify maybe a couple of projects or things that are coming up.
Well, and I actually will have, I know I've got some later on the agenda that kind of a follow-up from the education and outreach that Jane was talking about last time. So I've got, there is something, a project that she is even specifically wanting a representative. So we can talk about that at that point if you want, or I can talk about it now.
Yeah.
So back to the final report. So what are you hearing that you think, if anything, you want to tweak or adjust?
Under the challenges, number one, add training and development as part of that process of new applicants. Stating that 6 meetings a year is somewhat limited. So it's a challenge because it's hard to keep rolling. And then, like you say, you miss a meeting and you're going to think about it. Oh, it's Wednesday night, it's not for my meeting, and you're not prepared. But that rolls into having some specific objectives that we want to accomplish as far as our work plan, and having some cross training too. So if you're really just very enthusiastic and you want to be on all the committees, subcommittees, then sure, why not? And just really trying to listen to the public can be there so that we can hear what they want us to do as everyone.
And it can almost be a Greek graphic that one of those circles with the arrows, one leads to another type. I'm just thinking that if you talk about engagement and involvement, not only with the commission, but with the public and projects, and then it leads to presentations, which leads to feedback. I can almost see that sort of that circle with arrows, one following the other type of thing. Picture's worth a thousand words, a graphic.
Although I think to the degree that what this document, the benefit of this document is this will be reviewed with the
county council. So what you will need to do is establish through Mark, Mr. McCauley, he has to allocate time on his update to the councilors. And so he has to arrange that to fit into the schedule.
It's really good for them to have some idea of what were the challenges that we faced last year and then how we plan to address them. Because they obviously need to have some opportunity to provide some impact to you guys. It's totally off base, or that's okay. And so I think there's to me, that's the reason why I just want to tweak this. But I like the basic flow of this, and I think without really belaboring the challenge, I think you're close. I think adding the challenge around the discontinuity of meetings can be a challenge. And the way we can address that is by having. I think the thing that we missed in your summary was the point about having the three teams, but then having kind of project teams that fall out of those with kind of key deliverables.
Well, what I'll do, I'll draft it out again and send it out to the group. I mean, I don't want to wait till March to get this.
No. Well, last week we had time in February of last year.
That's what it looked like.
And we didn't want to go beyond February only because you wanted to eat up 2 months of the year. So you might probably want to try to start looking to see what Mark will do in providing 15, 20 minutes at one of the councilor meetings before the end of February. Okay. To schedule.
The first thing I wanted to do was respond to David McDevitt's questions. He's asked both the September meeting and the November meeting about the possibility of a budget allocation for the Clean Water Commission to do some kind of education and outreach, like renting a room and having refreshments. Basically the current concept of that would be that the Clean Water Commission would basically follow a similar criteria or format that other programs within the Clean Water Division would, which would be if you were really wanting to try to get funds, then you propose for approval an activity with a budget, and then you would have to have a sign-in sheet. You would purchase, rent a room, or purchase supplies, refreshments, and then save your receipts, and then submit those for reimbursement. So it would be, if that basically is the structure for having, being the Clean Water Commission to be able to access some kind of funds. And then the other good thing about that would be, since it would be reviewed for approval, it would also be looked at as this filling gaps that aren't being done by Clean Water Division's education and outreach already, and making sure that there is an overlap. And with that, as Jane was outlining last time when she was here, that the Clean Water Division is rolling out a bunch of, is really evolving in what they're doing with education and outreach. And one of the big things had been alluded to, which was a new hire was happening, and now he has been hired. His name's Eric Lambert, and he is an environmental outreach specialist. He is technically working from public health, but he's really supporting both Clean Water Division in public works and solid waste in public health. So he has now been working for a couple of weeks. He started in December, and he's going to be working closely with Jane in the Clean Water Division. And one of his first tasks is actually, I think Jane had kind of alluded to this as well, but to analyze existing projects that are going on in the Clean Water Division as well as in solid waste, and looking at expenditures, because the end result is to have an ability to see clearly what's being done, where money is being spent, and where overlaps and gaps are, and then to maybe how best to leverage resources and not duplicate efforts, and even use your guys' energy to fill the gaps instead of do things that are being done elsewhere. And then one project that Jane is really wanting to get more engagement in, and she's really starting to ramp up, she and Eric are both working on, is Stormwater Partners of Southwest Washington. And this could be really an opportunity for a representative from the Clean Water Commission to be involved. So it's an existing group. I don't know if you've all heard of it before. But basically it's modeled similar to Washington Stormwater Center's Stormwater Outreach for Regional Municipalities, or STORM, in the Puget Sound area, which is a coalition of local government and community partners to educate about stormwater. And what they do, they meet on a regular basis, and so Jane is wanting to have the stormwater partners meet on a quarterly basis. And similar to what the STORM group does, they choose an educational message that all the partners agree on, and then all the partners even contribute, whether it's funds or time and that sort of thing. And so, for example, I think Marie, you had talked about at a prior meeting, one of their campaigns is the Don't Drip and Drive, Fix That Leak, which was about educating about auto leaks. And actually, here it sounds like Stormwater Partners is even allowed to, they are able to link to those materials, those educational materials that were developed by this group in the Puget Sound, but it's there's enough, it's not competitive, that it's more important to spread the word. And so another instance of filling, of not overlapping, and why do we have to design our own materials when we can use something that works really well that already exists. And it sounds like that Stormwater Partners has a link to their website to help spread the information already. And they're wanting, in a planning phase, to maybe do some workshops here in Clark County with car owners and local mechanics. To do these workshops that will help teach people about what to be looking for and what to do about if fluids are leaking from your automobile. So Jane and Eric are planning to have their first meeting soon. It's not set, the date has not been set yet, but if the Clean Water Commission wants to have a representative start attending this group, Jane can... I mean, she definitely can let me know, and she's really encouraging participation from your group. So that's definitely one project even that would be from the beginning of this year available to you. So if you want.
So you can send an email out to everybody, a little snapshot paragraph, and say who's interested. I need to know why.
Yeah, it seems like a really great opportunity.
So maybe I could just add a couple things. I'm not that involved with Stormwater Partners, but originally it was started with a grant from the Department of Ecology, a grant for projects of regional or statewide significance. They call them GROSS grants. But it involved the permittees in Clark County, so Vancouver, Camas, Washtenaw, Battleground, and of course Clark County. And I think one of the primary purposes of the project was to reach out to homeowners, associations who had stormwater facilities, and also just to provide more general information about stormwater infrastructure. But it's a very nice webpage if you haven't looked at it already. Stormwater Partners, you can find it somehow from our webpage, I'm not sure.
But,
so the primary people that will be involved will be the other permittees. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what it sounded like from Jane, as well as other community partners, and I'm not sure exactly who else she would be reaching out to.
One thought I have is that we coordinate with other Phase 2 permittees in primarily Cowlitz County, which is Longview, and Kelso, and to a lesser extent, Cowlitz County, which has a tiny area, urbanized area that's included in their permit. And Longview has been pretty active in their stormwater program over the last few years.
Okay.
So that might be worth thinking about.
Okay, yeah, I can let Jane know. Another follow-up topic, I just, with your strategic planning ideas last time, and you were talking about having a contact email or an information email. So then I was asking Dean and other staff, is that something, I just wanted to be able to give you guys some feedback about, and basically Dean then was questioning me about, well, wasn't there discussion about it here at the Clean Water Commission about having a Facebook, and where did that go? And because did Kate meet with Andrew Loescher and talking about, I think it was kind of in the early phases and I wasn't quite here for that. So, but then basically looking at what, once again, leveraging resources, and sometimes maybe a Facebook is actually could be better than an email in this day and age as a possibility, or other social media. And so another, now Clark County Public Works actually has an official Facebook page now. And that's just come about in the last month. And Jane has been very involved in the setup of that. So there, she said that even having announcements from this group is certainly something that they're interested in, that she can do at any point, and you that she could be the primary contact for any kind of announcements or information that we would want to put on that, that you would want to put on that. There is one little hiccup, which is about this Facebook, is that there was an Facebook unofficially set up a Public Works Facebook because enough people were checking in from the Public Works Operations Center location. So then people are just checking in through the app. And so Jane said that the one problem is that they're trying, that they've got the link, and I can send it to all of you so that you can see it. But it's, if you search for Clark County Public Works, it's not the first Facebook that comes up when you search for it.
So Facebook actually created
yes.
their own because they were getting a certain number of hits.
Yeah. And now they're having, Jane said they're having a little bit of a hard time trying to validate. There's some steps that they have to go through and paperwork they have to submit to say, no, this is the real Clark County Public Works. We really want this Facebook to be ours. So right now the address is a little long, and when you search for it, it's not the first one that you come upon. But so I didn't know where your discussion went with social media and that sort of thing, but I just wanted to throw that out.
I thought Keith said that relative to LinkedIn, that really wasn't handy. She was actually, she expressed getting at least one outreach that was inappropriate.
Oh.
Et cetera. So it sounded to me like the LinkedIn was, but I don't recall specifics on any or anything else on Facebook or not specific to this group.
Yeah. Last time she was going to.
And is that a group, is that sort of a project that Kate's been working on? So maybe, and so the other...
She's going to look into it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a thought to enable public communication, you know, get input. And the sense that I had from it all was that there was not, that wasn't going to be an easy solution to,
okay.
to it. It was really going to be the kind of hard work of getting up and going out in front of groups and communicating, talking about objectives, finding out what their interests are.
And that was really going to be the best
really
way.
And that's really the approach to go at it. But I like the idea, though, of communicating some activities to the degree we have some things going on and we use that Facebook.
Yeah, so now there's this easy avenue and that county staff are getting more and more familiar and going to be quite, and they're going to develop an expertise in this, so, and that we'll have, and so Jane definitely is one of them. Andrew Loescher actually is not even going to be with the county any longer, so, plus he was in solid waste, so, but I mean, even with people with solid waste in public health are still very accessible, and Jane is working. All the education and outreach are working together, and with Eric being that bridge between the two different departments. So.
I'm better to have that way because if you have a separate for this, each commission had their own, then there's got to be questions around liability, what can be said, it can't be said, who effectively manages it, keeps it updated, it's really, it can be. If I'm the county, I'm reticent to allow others to be speaking on our behalf and yet we're not in control or directing it. So
one person managing it gets the job transferred.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if we were trying to manage, one of our members was trying to manage it on our behalf,
So it seems like this is a good first step. At least we can start to figure out how to leverage this sort of resource.
Any comments?
Just ask you a question, and that's actually looking here at the appendix A on the back of the meeting participation table, which is second here, and just a question or thought. In our bylaws, it states that commissioners need to attend 75% of the scheduled meetings. 75% of six meetings is 4.5. It's a little thin.
But perhaps
this year we might want to consider entertaining a motion to amend the bylaws, perhaps using something more akin to two-thirds.
Yeah,
66. That's why I use two-thirds. Because two out of three would be four out of six. Just a suggestion, Madam Chair.
But even if you don't attend, I mean, we don't kick you out of the...
Well, but in the bylaws, it indicates that you can be removed if the attendance falls below. Now, technically, you probably couldn't get rid of hardly anybody. It would be harder because it's technically incorrect.
Yeah.
But yes, you actually have the ability and the authority to take action if a member is consistently not attending and falls below that. Anyway, just a passing thought to perhaps entertain that change in one of our other meetings. Other than that, just a kind of a little update, there was a gentleman who was in the audience some time back, and his last name was Dryland.
And Richard Deerland?
Yeah.
Richard Deerland?
Yeah, Deerland, Dryologist guy? Yeah. Older guy?
Yeah.
Well, he'd indicated in the meeting attended that he would like to engage the group, and he represented various other groups and so forth. I have emailed that guy so many times, and occasionally he responds to me and says, yeah, I've been really busy, get back to you. Just to let you know, I guess there were about eight times I stopped. So, just trying to get them engaged. And from an outreach standpoint, is there any reason to do anything with the rural cities at all, or is the department really kind of, because I go to some of the battleground city council meetings, et cetera, but then there's, of course, the smaller ones. So, but the county engages directly with them on all stormwater, clean water.
Well, in the stormwater partners, some of the smaller cities are. Most of the smaller cities are involved because they have a stormwater management.
Is there a regular interchange or interaction? I've said to the battleground in the past, about our city council members, that I'm on the Clean Water Commission. I'd be happy to assist. And I know several of the directors that are within. It just got me thinking, but I don't want to step on toes. If it's already something that's part of the process, then engaging groups maybe is non-governmental.
Yeah, at the staff level, the local permittees meet, talk about permit-related issues every couple, 3 months.
Okay. So then it should be a
staff-level thing. You know, the cities tend to have their own area that they are pretty involved in. And we talk about, you know, interconnected systems as a permit requirement, that type of thing. And we've done a lot of work over the last few years about looking forward to the monitoring program that's going to be required by ecology in the next permit locally. But I think the work in education and outreach is probably the best one to think about how permittees can leverage their resources to come up with a regional message that's more amenable to being presented in mass media.
So I'm just wondering, thinking out loud, that, you know, if there's maybe a 5-10 minute presentation that could be given to the various rural city councils, you know, at least once, maybe this year, you know, just get time on their agenda to be able to say, you know, Clean Water Commission, and want to make sure that your citizens know that they, I mean, just whatever the short presentation is. If that doesn't step on toes, I mean, again, that's just,
you know, it's almost a question of what, you know, what would the center be interested in, or. Yeah, cool. We're already, when you say rural city, I'm assuming you mean somebody that's not a permittee. I'm just all about permits that are out there with me there. So we've got in Clark County, there's Ridgefield, which isn't a permittee, the center, which isn't a permittee,
and Yakult, which is an impermanent tea, but Battleground, Vancouver, Kansas, and Washington will all have a stormwater permit, similar to Clark County.
So really just those three?
Yeah, those are the other cities, and then there's the three other incorporated cities or towns that don't have a permit in the department.
Does Yakult have a stormwater system?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't really have anything except for the side that she's in. So you can be a friend if you want to downhill.
Other than that, no, I don't have
anyone else. Public comments?
They, if it's tribal lands, it is not regulated by the state, it is regulated by the federal government. I'm not sure at this point if they will be required to have municipal stormwater permits. I don't know if it will be. It might be defined as a municipal permit or municipal stormwater system. I know military bases have permits, like Joint Base Lewis-McChord does, and that's an EPA permit. They tend not to be as strict as the state permits.
There was something I read about the casino. They're using a state-of-the-art injection system back into the ground or water.
Sewage.
Was it sewage or was it just filtered or processed water back in, injected back in?
Treated sewage.
It's treated sewage. Injecting into the ground.
Yeah, that's all I know.
That much more than I knew. What if that means it's tainted money?
Down there.
Go
ahead. Anything else? Okay, so we will revise the report, send that out, look for input for our new members, and inform everyone of those dates. And then, so if we do select, shall we make announcements to the group, or just wait for the next meeting for introduction?
Or either do appointees, or you should.
Okay.
Wield the gavel in position.
Okay, so at 8:05, this meeting is adjourned.